Hello, everyone. Welcome to QU, Telling Your Story podcast. This is our inaugural attempt at recording our first podcast. So bear with us as we learn the equipment and kind of learn how to talk to each other over a couple of stories that journalism students at Quincy University have been working on. So thanks for joining us. My name is Nora Baldner. I am the Assistant Professor of Communication here at QU in a department of three, two other professors that teach here as well in our department. And we are responsible, the students are responsible for several different content platforms. We have a website, we have now, as of today, inaugural podcast, we have social media platforms, and we still have a print product that students write for and design and lay out called The Falcon. It has a rich history here on campus, and hundreds of students have contributed content to The Falcon print newspaper that comes out three times a semester. So I do have the editorial board with me today on this QU Telling Your Story podcast. I have Raven Ash, Kaleem Caldwell, and Shane Halsey. And they are the editors of The Falcon for this spring 2020 semester. So Raven, I'm going to start with you because you have the front page story in the latest edition of The Falcon. And as we know, that's typically the most important story, you know, that goes on the front page. It goes above the fold in normal regular newspapers, or it goes above the scroll on websites. So the lead story, the front page story of The Falcon for the February 2020 issue is Dorm Leaders Urge Respect and Cleanliness. What's going on in the dorms, Raven?
So the RAs and Willer really thought it was important that they address to the students that noise issues have been a consistent issue all year, and that has continued even through the second semester, even though it was addressed at the beginning. Also, we've had items stolen off of people's doors, and then a lot of trash always litters the hallways. And then last week, so we had the meeting about respecting each other in the property probably 3 weeks ago now, and last week on one of the floors, a window was broken. And so glass kept falling out of the window onto the front door, so we had to close off one door and only use one door on the east side. So that was another inconvenience that we've had.
But, you know, back in my day, which was a long time ago, right? Dorms were known for blasting music. They were always loud places, right? There was always music coming out of the windows and rooms and that sort of thing. What is the policy on campus? Are there quiet hours? Are there study hours? Are there rules about this?
Yeah, so we do have quiet hours during the week and the weekend. And the issue became that even after quiet hours, the noise levels were still way over the top. And then even during the day, the RD would complain that she could hear the suite above her all the time. So I think once she started to be affected by the other residents, she kind of put her foot down on the issues.
So it not just a normal student, but RDs, if they're affected, then things get done, right?
Yes, major issue.
Okay. What do students, when they're the perpetrators and they're blaring their music, what's their reaction when they're asked to turn it down?
I would say that they usually don't, just from experiences. I know one of my friends who lives in Willer, the RA had come up to her room and told her that she'd already been up twice and to turn the music down. And the second that the RA had walked away, she turned the music up even higher, which I think is extremely disrespectful. But
are there penalties? Are there fines? Is there any?
Eventually they call security.
Okay.
And then I think after they call security, maybe you get a ticket or something like that. But the RAs will only come up maybe three times before they call security.
Okay. Kaleem, what's your experience with noise and trash in the dorms?
I live in the freshman dorm, which is Heline Hall. And, you know, when freshmen are first entering college, they get their first taste of freedom. And that can't always go well. Heline has a number of noise complaints, lettering problems, and actually thefts. And I found out that Heline is the only dorm that doesn't have cameras. And I thought that was kind of weird because QU and other universities, they preach safety when freshmen are coming in. That's parents' number one priority. And you don't have cameras in the freshman dorms, but everywhere else. And I also found out that freshmen were supposed to be staying in PAD, which originally had the latest cameras. They were installed this summer, but I guess something flipped, according to the head of security, Sam Lathrop. And now they reverted back to having freshmen in Garden and Heline.
It might be something about numbers. I'm not sure. I'm just kind of making a guess there. But depending on how many rooms are in a building and then how many, you know, people are in each class or designation, right? Shane, what's your experience?
Well, I live in Willer. And as anybody who's been in Willer knows, the acoustics there aren't exactly the best. So any sound made pretty much is going to echo throughout the whole building. So if anybody is not even blasting music or playing music at a relatively high level, you're going to hear it. And I live across the hall from some people who do that on occasion, specifically on Friday and Saturday nights, which doesn't really bother me all that much. But it's in the Heline Hall. I lived in Heline as a freshman, and I was kind of part of the group that made a bunch of the noise, especially first semester. There's rarely a night after 11 o'clock, between 11 and 1 a.m., between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m., where there wasn't some kind of noise going on. But it was the whole entire hall that was doing it, so we didn't really have much of an issue with it.
So let me ask you all three this. So you're sitting here in a podcast in a class with a professor, and you're like, yeah, those students are being loud. Is it you don't like their music, or if they play your jam, you're like, yeah, that's okay?
Well, for me, it's mostly because, I mean, I don't really have a problem because I know I have a JBL speaker in my room, and, you know, I'm actually, like, when I'm doing work, I have to listen to loud music. I'm not, like, a quiet guy. But it comes a problem when everybody's on a different schedule. So for lacrosse, we get up at 5:30 a.m. almost every single day for practice. And so we go to bed at like 9 or 10, and when somebody's playing music, that's when it becomes an issue. So it's kind of like a respect thing.
Right. So they should have like early rising dorms and late sleeping dorms? I don't know.
I don't know how you determine
I don't
that.
Know how I don't either. Yeah. Well, just so y'all know, this has been a problem since a long time ago. I don't think there's a fix. I think it's music is going to be played in dorms, especially, Kaleem, you were saying freshmen, for sure. Right?
Oh, for sure.
All right. Let's have a little music interlude for about 30 seconds, and then we'll switch topics when we come back. Okay, welcome back. That was our ode to freshman dorms. That was as loud as we get here without blasting out our equipment, right? So switching to a little bit more serious topic, Kaleem, you've been working on a story about thefts in the dorms. This is another perennial problem. This happens every year. You know, people think that there's communal property and they kind of say, oh, I need 10 bucks or whatever. And often freshmen are not, and other students are not as cognizant about, oh, I better lock that up. And they tend to leave stuff kind of lying around. What have you found in your reporting?
So it's actually funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's a quote that Sam told me. And he's like, if anything doesn't go, like, if you use anything, please use this. He said in his 9 years of working at Quincy University, he's never investigated a theft where the doors were locked.
Oh, no.
Remember at our freshman orientation, they stressed that it only takes 30 seconds. So using the shower, the bathroom, whatever you do, you have to bring your key, unlock your door, and let your roommate know. Because, I mean, I've been a victim of this. I've had my wallet stolen out of my room because I actually lost my key. And keys cost $75 to replace. So I was like, okay, I told my roommate, leave the door open. I'll be back. I'm just going to grab some lunch. And it happened to me, and I was like, wow. And one of my teammates had his PlayStation stolen. Another kid down the hall had some clothes stolen. And it's just like, why take that stuff?
Wow. So, but in all three of those situations that you talked about, you admitted that you left the door unlocked. The doors were unlocked in the other ones too.
Yep.
A PlayStation and some clothes, the doors unlocked. Mm-hmm. And $75 to replace a room key in the dorm, that's pretty expensive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something you got to put around your neck or something. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I when I first moved to Quincy and married a local person, I'm not originally from here, he would leave the door open all the time, and we'd be going to work. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, it's Quincy, it's fine. I'm like, click, no, it's not. Just because I wasn't used to that, and I'd lived in other places that, you know, you had to lock the door. So there's kind of a... maybe a mentality of familiarity or camaraderie that people in dorms think we're all in this together, so we're all friends.
I've definitely found out that, well, I don't know if for sure, but I have like a theory that the person that actually steals from you knows you, because especially in Heat Line, we go around and we just like jiggle on our friend's door to see if it's open, and then we knock, because I mean, if you're, it's your like friend, you'll just like go in. So you wouldn't walk up to a person you don't know or you're not friends with and just jiggle their door to see if they're in there. So
that's kind of interesting. Do you, Raven and Shane, do you do that?
No.
I mean, not that's not really our situations. Kalee,
maybe that's just you.
Yeah, our living situations. I remember when I lived in Heline, it was kind of the same thing. Like, we're all in the same hall. We even dubbed ourselves 100 Block. We were like, it was all just like a little neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you would think you would watch each other's backs, not steal each other's PlayStations, right?
Yeah.
Raven, what's your experience?
Last year in Garner, we had the issue where people were stealing from each other, and that's girls, so I wasn't really expecting that. I was always leaving my door unlocked because I would go out a lot, and so one time we had a hall meeting, and we all had to go down there as mandatory, and all the RAs, like, disappeared. And then we went back to our rooms, and every person that left their door unlocked during the hall meeting, they, like, silly stringed everything. And it was a lesson to lock your doors because people were getting stolen from. And then we had another kid who was in my class last year who lived in Heline, and someone who lived two doors down from him went in and stole his, it was either his PlayStation or his Xbox. And they eventually found out, and the kid had gotten scared and dumped the PlayStation in a dumpster at the gas station on 18th and Broadway. And so he was able to get it back, but they put cameras in Garner last year, which I guess it's a good thing, but at the same time, it's a community in Garner. And so when you take a shower, a lot of times you'll just walk out in your towel. And then when you have cameras, it's kind of awkward, but...
I think from what I know, and I could be wrong, but I think that the cameras record maybe a week's worth and then record over. So if there's a theft or whatever, you have to report it immediately so that they can review the video. But it's my understanding that that video is not kept forever. Now, I could be wrong. We'd have to check with Sam on that. I'm not sure if that's correct, but okay. One more break, and then we'll come back, and I've got some questions for the three of you as editors of student media. Okay, welcome back to QU, Telling Your Story. I am Nora Baldner, one of the professors here with the Communication Department. Shane Halsey, Kaleem Caldwell, and Raven Ash are joining me. They are editors of student media this semester. So a question to all three of you. How do you decide how to lay out the Falcon newspaper and what story goes on which page? And how do you decide how to present the stories in such a way that students will read them. Kalima, I'll start with you. Well, hold on. Raven, let's start with you. See if your mic is working. We'll turn Kalima on in just a second here.
Okay. Can you hear me?
No. Yeah, now we've... Okay, well, Shane, I got to start... See if your mic is working. There you go.
These two are working.
Oh. Welcome to our new podcast equipment. We're still trying to work out the bugs here.
That'll help.
So, try Shane...
Again. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, that was
technical
weird.
Difficulty.
Yeah, yeah. Beep.
Okay, so for me, I think front page is more of what's timely. So when the paper is being issued, what is like the most relative, like story going out. And I think for me, wait, I'm sorry. What was your other question?
Just how do you decide how to present the stories so that students will read them, and how do you make them interesting, and how do you decide which goes on which page?
So at least for me, being like a student, I would put my stories how a student would read them. So if I'm coming into a story, I like coming into stories that I don't know much about, because I'm assuming that most students don't know anything about the story either. So I'm laying out my story like, how would a student ask these questions? What would a student ask? And what would a student want to know about these stories? And mostly, why would a student care about these stories? So why am I taking an interest to these stories?
Perfect. So your first story of your QU experience was kind of fun. I actually got a yeah. chance to watch you do your job and watch you in the field. Tell us about that.
So it was about maple syrup and the maple trees that the environmental science class taps for their SAP, and that was really cool because I was just kind of thrown into that and had to come on an off day and just do my reporting outside, meet a new teacher, and walk around North Campus, which I was not familiar with. And, you know, I didn't know anything about SAP, and it was just cool to learn about the Sugar Shack and the tools used and what they do with the SAP because they sell it.
Right. So you can find that story in the Falcon if you're wondering what Kalim is talking about.
Yeah.
Raven, how do you approach deciding what goes on the front page or what stories actually make it into the Falcon?
I think for the front page, like you mentioned earlier, it needs to be something that is relevant, like Kalim was mentioning, but also something that is timely. But then for the rest of the articles, I think that students really like feature stories, and those are my favorite to write because you can add an anecdote from a student on campus. And someone said to me yesterday, I don't understand how you can always find people who have small little fun stories. Like, I have a story on Braden Lowry, and he makes his own clothing in his dorm. And then my QUTV story the other day was about a freshman who is a baker, and she designs wedding cakes. So that's always a little more interesting than issues in Willer Hall, but at the same time, issues in Willer Hall are important and need to be addressed.
So how do you find those interesting feature stories?
I found out about the baker because she went to high school with my little sister in Palmyra, so kind
right.
of an odd way, but just
yeah.
who you know, I guess. My sister knew her, and so I met her later when she moved to QU then.
Well,
had that mutual connection.
And the super secret, you know, big secret about journalism is you do get your stories just from talking to people. That's mm-hmm. really how it works. You know, you can't be afraid to sit down in the cafeteria next to someone you don't know and introduce yourself and say, what's your story, right? So QU TV, QU Media, The Falcon, all the tagline is telling your story. So we certainly want to hear stories from everyone on campus because everyone does have a story, right? Is that your experience, Shane?
Yeah, and those are, like Raven said, those are the most fun stories to do because usually when you're doing a story like that, the person you're telling the story for wants their story told, and maybe they haven't gotten a chance to tell it. And if you get the chance to tell their story, like I did with Austin Downing, Tanner Stuckman, you know, Brandon Gaston last semester, football player, they might not say they do, but they want their story out there. And if you get the chance to tell it, that makes it that much more fulfilling.
So obviously you just revealed to us that your passion is sports. How do you approach reporting on QU sports for the Falcon?
It's kind of based on, like, if, like, for example, the women, the lacrosse team, they played their first game. So it's only fitting that we talk about, this is literally history happening at Quincy University. We've never had a lacrosse team. Or like the story with Tanner Stuckman. He kind of struggled last year. He averaged like 8 points a game last year. And now all of a sudden he's in contention for all GOVC, maybe first team. He's averaging like 20 points a game. So that's a huge jump. And he's going from his sophomore to junior season. That's usually the most important. That's usually when you find out, are they for real? And he's shown that he can be the guy, and he's still got another year. And throw another thing into there, he's from Quincy. He went to Quincy Notre Dame. So that makes it that much more relevant.
Yeah, this is my sixth year here, and we haven't had a lot of local athletes come. We've had a lot of recruiting and a lot of people, you know, coming, but that Quincy native is rare.
There's some from like Palmyra and like Augusta, right, and surrounding, but right in Quincy, there's not usually a whole lot.
Right, right. But it seems maybe we'll get some more. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on our first QU Telling Your Story podcast. And please stay tuned. We'll have more from students, especially these three, as they are the leaders of student media for this semester. Hopefully we'll have some more. We also want to tell you that we have a QU TV Hawk Talk podcast that does focus just on sports. We already have an issue up for that. So stay tuned and tell us your story.